Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, October 18th. It is 10 o'clock here in beautiful Dallas, Texas. And this is Change Matters Solutions. We've got a lot to talk about. I am Kenny Hendricks.
And good morning. I am Colette Williams. And I am here in sunny, southern, cloudy, slightly rainy, cool, very cool fall day, California, Los Angeles, California. Thank you. Welcome to Change Matters Solutions. And we are here this morning. We've got a lot to talk about. And you know what, folks? We have been on the air for probably 8 months now, eight months. And most of our conversations, our shows, have been about the shootings and how horrific it is and the lives that have been lost, whether it was black-on-black crime or cop-to-black-man crime or woman. We've talked about that. And it's real important that all of our listeners join in on the conversation. We have to find a solution. And if you look at our website, if you go to Black Talk Radio Media, you'll see that Change Matters means solutions. And we can't do it without you. You have to be a part of the solution. You have to be a part of the solution. And I can't say it enough. You have to be a part of the dialogue. We're talking about Black Lives Matter. We're talking about this funky election campaign. We're talking about life in general and how to make it better for each and every one of us. We cannot do it without you. It's going on far too much, and we cannot do it without you. We're going to call people on the carpet. We're going to say things that you may be offended about, and good, because if you're offended, that means you're going to get up, you're going to talk, you're going to say something, and you're going to tell us how offended you are. So when you listen, and I hope that you continue to listen, join into the conversation. Join us. We're talking about voter fraud today. We're talking about the horrific crimes that took place over the weekend. The shooting of Tyson Gay's daughter, 15 years old, sitting in a restaurant, minding her own business with her friend. And two idiots were in a gunfight. And, of course, a stray bullet hit her. How absolutely horrible. Here in L.A.
Let me go ahead and give out those numbers for those who want to go ahead and join in. It's 704-951-5030. That's where any guests or contributors can call in. If you want to just dial in and just listen, you can call 641-715-3660. Now, that is a conference line, and the participant code is 549-032. And if you're on that line and you decide you want to go ahead and chime in, you can hit *61 to go ahead and talk. If you want to send us an email, send that to changematters99@gmail.com. That's changematters99@gmail.com. And as we talk about this, Colette, I'm gonna segue into this. We hadn't planned on talking about this, but we've been talking about the shootings and things like that that are happening all over the place. I'm going to segue into something that I've said I wanted to address for some time. One of the solutions I think we need to look at. If you look at what's happening in these major cities, first of all, the word urban has become a euphemism for black these days, because if something's urban, it's black. You know, they talk about urban areas, because for the most part, many black people are still living in these major cities, LA, Detroit, Chicago, New York. And if you look at what's going on in a lot of these places, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of strife, there's a lot of things, you know, many of the shootings, all of these things. Yeah. And I don't use the term black on black crime, because if you look at the statistics, blacks kill each other, I think, at 92% rate, and whites kill each other at like 84%. So there's not that big a difference. And if you really look at it, you are more likely to be killed by someone from your own race, and you're more likely to be killed by someone you know, which defaults, generally speaking, to somebody of your own race. So that's just a natural phenomenon. There's nothing specific about black-on-black crime. But I want to talk about, just for a moment, is I think, you know, black people really need to start thinking about moving away from these major cities. I understand we moved to these major cities at the beginning of last century, in the 40s and 50s, getting away from the South.
They allowed us to. We could be in the city.
Mm-hmm. We could be in the cities. There were the jobs, Detroit, the factories in Detroit, the car makers, automobile makers, right. All these things were great. I think at this point, masses of black people living, the cities have outused their purpose for the masses of black people. Black people need to think about moving to more, whether it's suburban or rural areas, and getting back to some of those areas. The cities are not doing us any good. We are too concentrated. There are too many things going on in these cities that, given the situations, I don't know how you fix it. You know, L.A.'s had gang problems for, what, the last 40 years?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The last 40 years or more. It's just magnified and worse than it's ever been. And nobody can put their finger on it. Nobody can tell you exactly why. Black on blacks, Hispanics, it really doesn't matter, but it happens all the time. It leaves L.A. for a second. It comes right back. Palm Springs has been ravaged with gun violence recently. Palmdale, Lancaster, these major cities are ravaged with gun violence. How do you fix it? How do you stop it? It has to be done with us. We have to.
And part of that, I think,
our own communities, ourselves, we have to do it.
And part of it, I think, is getting away from these places, getting away from these cities. You know,
and some people would argue that means you're running away from your home. You're running away. No, you're not. You're saving your life.
You're saving your lives.
Saving your lives.
What is it Bob Marley said? He who fight and run away live to fight another day.
Right.
Okay. So sometimes you have to get out of the environment. And again, it's outlived its usefulness. So if you think about it, what is good? You know, and if somebody's out there and they want to call in and tell us what's good about living in the cities, please call in and tell me. You know, because seeing, again, being born in L.A. and raised in the L.A. Pasadena area, and having moved to Texas 20 years ago, and seeing a different way of life in terms of people living in more rural areas and more suburban areas, I see a vast difference in how people react to one another, how they interact, and how they feel about themselves.
Ken. You know,
yes.
Yes. This is Scotty, the engineer, audience.
Hi, Scott.
Hi. You're not the first person I've heard express that. In fact, I think if I'm not mistaken, have heard Minister Louis Farrakhan talk about us needing land. And, you know, especially for farming and being able, you know, just getting back to doing for self, growing our own foods and things of that nature. I can think of other reasons to leave a city other than violence, because from the FBI statistics, they say violent crime is going down. But of course, you know, people have different perceptions based on what news media they are consuming. But it's still a problem. It hasn't totally been eliminated, so it's still a problem. But I can think of other reasons why people should think about leaving the cities. Apparently, there aren't enough jobs anymore. Like you mentioned, they fled the South. Well, actually, I was watching the documentary The 13th by Ava DuVernay. And they covered that. They covered that black people leaving the South and fleeing terrorism. They weren't necessarily looking for jobs or anything. I mean, that was a period of migration, I think, during the 50s and World War II. And,
right.
And, yeah. But when they first started leaving the South, it was to flee the KKK and white terrorism. Right. And that's why they went to...
And Jim Crow, right.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And they went to the cities. They went to the cities because that allowed them to be free.
Right.
They were free Negroes.
But yeah. Now, though, look at the cities now. The infrastructure's falling apart. The soil, right. For the most part, has been poisoned by the industrial, you know, age here in the United States. And, I mean, just look at Flint, Michigan. And I found out that it is not just Flint. It's Chicago. It's a lot of these cities. So there's a number of reasons for people to leave the city. So I agree with you, Ken.
Yeah. And I thank you for that. Because it's, again, I'll say this and at the risk of being repetitive. The cities have outlived their usefulness for black people.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at what's going on in a lot of the places, they're being gentrified. You know, people are coming in.
Right.
Other ethnicities are coming in. They're buying up property. They give somebody a little bit of money. They buy up the property and they start changing it. So, again, it's not working for us. You know,
right.
It works
and
for
gentrification,
us.
And I'm sorry. Gentrification has crept in and it's continuing to creep in. And instead of folks saying, wait a minute, folks are standing around with their arms folded saying, oh, look who's here. Look who's here. Gentrification. It's gentrification. And what that has done to a lot of communities, especially here in LA, it has raised the price of real estate sky high.
Mm-hmm.
So every other day, there's something on the news that talks about how high the cost of living is here in Southern California. You don't even mention Northern California. That goes without saying.
God.
Come on. That's like living on Pluto, and Pluto ain't even a planet anymore. The cost of living here, they're even talking about rent costs going up so high that people can't afford it. And it's a fact. You can't even afford to live in the city anymore because the cost of it is so exorbitant. Go ahead, Ken.
And that's why people have moved out to Palm Springs and Moreno Valley and all those other places.
Right.
That when we were children, they were road trips.
That's right.
But the thing about gentrification, people get mad about gentrification, and I get that. But the flip side of that is that they're going to look at it and say, well, you're not doing anything with it. We're going to do something with it. And they're going to come and do something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're going to do something with it. And they come in and they gentrify. They move people out of their homes.
Yep.
But again, if you're not doing anything with it, somebody else is going to come along and do something with it. Now, and I get there are issues that we have issues getting credit, bank loans. I get all that, you know. But, you know, and a lot of times we'll talk about these things, and sometimes it will sound like we don't understand all the underlying issues that go along.
We do. Right.
We understand those things. But we've got to start looking for solutions. And, again, moving out of the cities. You know, what's so good about living in the inner city these days? You know, again, you're in the danger of being shot. You know, walking down the streets is dangerous, and I'm not trying to sound like Donald Trump here or for anyone to say that he's correct, but a lot of what he was saying is not that far from the truth. Okay,
well,
not that he's right, because
he doesn't know. How would he know?
Even a stopped clock is right twice a day, okay?
Yeah.
So just because he says it doesn't make him completely right. But just from our perspective, we've got to start looking at doing some alternatives, moving out to rural areas, building our own, growing our own food,
right.
Farming and those types of things. And
that's
I'm sure
right.
There's people going to say, man, I ain't going to do no farming. Well, you know, that's all well and good. But
don't.
Yeah, then don't.
If you're about what I'm not going to do, then do not complain. It's the same thing that I've been saying to people who have said, I'm not going to vote because there's nobody to vote for. Do not complain. Do not complain. And when you lose all your rights, don't complain then either. Because you have a right to vote. And it's each and every one's responsibility to vote. And you cannot vote in the other direction. If you need to think about this even further, think about it, but make sure you end up at the polling place. Make sure that each and every person in your families, on your block, everywhere you go, make sure people are voting. Because if they don't vote, that's a vote in the opposite direction, which we don't need.
And now that you mentioned that, let's go ahead and pivot back to the election. They've been talking about, and I had a quote up here from Donald Trump, where he talks about voter fraud being all too common. Voter fraud, God. And yeah, you'll hear.
He's a buffoon. He's a complete buffoon.
You'll hear Republicans talk about voter fraud. I have some Republican acquaintances, and we go back and forth and back and forth. And I get, and see, one of the things about arguing with a Republican, their whole mantra is, you know, don't confuse me with the facts. You can show them the facts. You can show them that climate change exists. They're going to deny it. You can show them that voter fraud does not exist. They're going to say it does. There was a recent study, and you and I talked about this a few moments ago, Colette, that there was a recent study that I think it was from 1970 through 2014. Mm-hmm. Of the hundreds of million people that voted, they found 31 cases.
31 times. Yes,
and if you're talking to people about voter fraud, you have to be very specific. You have to talk about in-person voter fraud, because that's what the new laws are trying to prevent. There's always fraud, inside jobs fraud. They're finding people mm-hmm. who are working for the campaign, not for the campaign, but at the polling, stuffing ballot boxes. Mm-hmm. That is not, ID is not going to help that. There are no known issues that the new voter ID laws are going to change. And again, they've been rescinded here in Texas, and Scotty, I think in Carolina, they rescinded out there as well, right?
Yes, sir. In five of those possible cases of voter fraud came from North Carolina. I'm like, out of millions of votes here in North Carolina, you found five cases.
And
a lot of times they were just mistakes. For example, one of them was an elderly lady, and her son took her to vote that morning. That afternoon, another one of her children asked her if she had voted, and she said, no, I didn't vote, and she took her to vote. So that was not intentional voter fraud. That was an elderly person who simply forgot.
And there was another one. There was another one where a woman, she had an elderly mother, and she just tried to go vote for her mother. It wasn't anything nefarious, but her mother was maybe bedridden or something and couldn't get up. And I bet you if you look at those cases, you're not going to... And again, who's going to go to the poll, vote, leave there, go to another poll, vote, And to be able to affect a national election, logistically, it's just impossible to do.
It ain't going to happen. It's practically impossible. This year, I am an inspector. During the Obama election, the first one, I was a clerk. And let me tell you, it ain't that easy. Okay? Voter fraud is not that easy. There are half a dozen people in some places, more in others. The larger the polling place, there are more people. But let me tell you, it ain't that easy to go in and vote again. It just isn't that easy. So when they talk about voter fraud, they need to know exactly what they're talking about, how it's done, and be very, very precise about it, because it's not that easy. It's not simply just going and voting again and la, la, la. It is not that easy, because there are people all over the place, registers that have to be signed, identification. In fact, I asked to see a woman's ID. The woman went ballistic on me. I said, you don't need to show me that. Okay, no. But don't think that it's that.
Wait a minute, Colette. That was kind of confusing. So she was angry at you because you didn't want to see her ID because it wasn't required?
Because I asked to see her ID. Okay. And at that time, there was a huge discussion about whether or not IDs needed to be shown. So we were told that when people come in, you can ask them for their ID. If they don't want to show it, they don't have to. But at that time, during the first Obama run, we were told that we should ask for ID.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
And it was
Republicans. Republicans try to make it sound like we on the left want to have it where you don't need any ID at all. That's not the case. But people have been able to vote with an electric bill or a gas bill that they show that shows their address and their name or address. Just something that shows it basically That's says right. who you are that you
I mean,
you,
you
are.
Go through that though, Kim, with the registration process.
Yeah, exactly.
You do. Absolutely, you do. And not only that, I'm sorry, additionally, what has to happen is when you vote provisionally. I have voted provisionally. I was in LA and I needed to go vote. I voted on a provisional ballot. Okay? And the provisional ballots are not counted at the same time.
Right.
But you still vote. So voter fraud, they need to tell us, yep, voter fraud looks like this, 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 and this. Really, people? And it doesn't.
Rudy Giuliani talks about them busing loads of people in from
Another
across
buffoon.
The bridge. But you think about it. Think about it. Let's say you've got a bus of 50 people. You bus them in to vote illegally. They have to know whose names are on the roll. Okay,
right.
You're going to vote under Joe Smith. You're going to vote under Bill Johnson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're
going to vote under Daffy Duck. You're going to vote under Chuckle the Clown. Yeah,
yeah,
uh-huh.
Then you have to take those people, bus them to another place, and give them other names to vote
right.
on. It can't happen. And for it to happen on a level, even if you tried it, for it to be enough to impact a national election, it is logistically impossible for you to affect a major election. The best you could do is get a few people to do it, and it's not going to be done. Again,
Absolutely.
When you get bus people around, are people going to drive or pay people to do it? It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And Ken, you may remember during the first Obama election, I went to vote. I was there in Dallas, and I voted. And I didn't know if my mother voted. And I went to vote. I had to go get my mother, forgot her ID. The people at the polling place in Irving said I could go back, get her wallet, and bring her back and help her to vote. Well, what these people did for me and my mother was absolutely incredible. And if I thought about it any longer, I'm sure I'd cry. I don't want to cry on the air. But what these people did to allow my mother to vote was absolutely the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And if anybody wanted to say anything about voter fraud, it certainly should have been done there, because that was the greatest opportunity that me and my mother were given. And my mother, at her age, was able to vote for the president and anything else that was on that ballot. So voter fraud, take it from me. I've been there on the inside. I don't go down and count them, but I've been a clerk. I'm an inspector today. I've volunteered there, and it's virtually impossible. So I challenge anybody to say that voter fraud looks like this or this. I know people who go and pick up people and drive them to the polling place, and we've talked about that on the air. If you need a ride, I will come and get you. If you need something, there is a shuttle, there is a van. We are picking up people to go and vote if they do not have transportation. So this voter fraud, this is just another scare tactic. And it's coming, that part is coming from the moron. So whatever he talks about, voter fraud, you know, I don't even listen to that. That is amongst the other absolutely ridiculous things that come out of that pie hole. So when we look at voter fraud, people stop thinking about it. Just go vote, and vote the way that you know how. Vote your conscience.
And see, there's another thing we need to be careful about, is that see, he's sending dog whistles out to his base. He was in Philadelphia, he was in Pennsylvania talking, and he says, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, there's going to be some voter fraud in some areas. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, they're talking about Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's right.
Talking about Philly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he says those things. And so you've got a lot of these right-wing wackos that are going to be out there trying to monitor these polling places. And I can see that, you know, there's a potential for some some not too nice things to happen if these people get in the way, you know. But people need to be vigilant in voting, and they cannot be intimidated. If you see these people, walk right past them. If you need to, call the police. Tell the police that these people are harassing people trying to vote. I went to vote one year, and there was a cop car sitting right outside the polling place. It was kind of weird, like, was he trying to intimidate people or what?
But the whole point, I've seen that before.
Yeah,
right.
But people don't be intimidated, is my point. Don't be intimidated. Go in there and vote. And especially elderly people might be a little more intimidated about things like that. But don't let your folks be intimidated. Get out there and vote. You have every right to. And if somebody's trying to stop you and talk to you, don't talk to them. Just keep moving and go in there and vote.
Right. Guys, and I think we should mention that in the states that have been impacted by Hurricane Matthew, I can't speak for the other states, but registration has been extended here in North Carolina.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Because of Hurricane Matthew, so you still have time to register.
Yeah, the governor of Florida was not going to extend it at first. He said people have had plenty of time to register. Yeah, but he went ahead and changed his mind. But can you believe that? You've got a hurricane. You've had plenty of time.
You've got a hurricane. Yeah, really.
Yeah. And you know it affects people, poor people and minorities, people of color, more than it's going to affect people with means. So, but I'm not sure what happened, but he went ahead and changed his mind. So I am glad of that.
Right. And here in California, the registration closes on the 24th, which is next Monday. So anybody that I know that has not registered, and I don't know too many people that did not register or haven't voted at all, they know, get out there and get registered.
Vote early.
I've taken registration forms to student conferences. I take them any and everywhere that I possibly can, because this is a time when we don't need to play with this. We do not need to play around. We do not need to think that our votes don't matter. And I was telling someone last night about the student that said to me she wasn't going to vote because don't nobody in her family vote, and I don't even know nobody, and don't even tell me about the people who died for me so that I could vote. They don't know me. I told the student to get out. You're making me nauseous. Just go. I could not believe the things that were coming out of the mouth. So this is really, really, this is extremely important. And we have, before we go to break, we've got to also, we want people to remember that the I Am One of the Million is coming up. And that conference takes place this coming weekend. So we need you to get there. This is really important. It's crucial. I Am One of the Million. Please go to the website www.iamoneofthemillion.com. Go through that email. Look for the registration for the conference. It's this weekend. It is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. It's inexpensive to go, and I am so sorry that I will not be there. But please, everyone who was within 10,000 miles of my voice, please register, go to that conference, get the material, listen to what's going on. These men are absolutely fantastic. They have profound things to talk about. So please, as we go to break, thank you.
Marcus Mosiah Garvey once said, "The greatest weapon used against the Negro is disorganization." If you believe it is finally time to organize, if you believe black people should have their own political party and understand the importance of block voting, but more importantly, understand and want to practice organized group economics, then you need to join the 1 million conscious contributors and voters. The founders of this organization hold firm to their belief that there are at least 1 million black people, or 2 out of every 100 black persons in this country, who have the best interests of black people collectively foremost in their mind. Are you one of the 2? If so, please visit the 1 million conscious contributors and voters website at IamOneOfTheMillion.com and be sure to join them for their national convention in Atlanta, October 21st through the 23rd, 2016. IamOneOfTheMillion.com.
You're listening to Change Matters Solutions on Black Talk Radio, hosted by Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams.
Thank you for staying with us. This is Change Matters Solutions. It's Tuesday, October 18th, and we're having a lively discussion regarding several topics. We started out talking about the recent tragedy of Tyson Gay's daughter being shot, segued into the election. Well, actually, we segued into talking about black people moving out of cities, and we segued into the election. We're going to go ahead and continue the conversation about the election. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you, Colette, to continue your thought.
Okay. What I was talking about was the fact that people really need to get out and vote, and do not find yourself intimidated by what you may hear or by what someone else may say. Because remember, voting is your right and your responsibility. And we want people to chime in and let us know why they think otherwise. And let us know whether you're going to vote and whether you're going to take your families to vote, your youngsters who are over the age of or 18 and over, and just vote. In fact, that's a very simple request. That's a very simple thing that we have to do. But it's life-changing. It's life-changing. And voting is a responsibility. You cannot do without it. Don't ever leave home on a vote on an election day and you're not on your way to vote.
Tell you how serious this election is. I'm looking at Huffington Post, and there's an article that is talking about extremist militias recruiting in fear of Clinton winning the election. And there have been several cases. The one woman that was talking to Mike Pence last week, I think it was last week, and she said, if Clinton wins, I'm ready for a revolution. There's a lot of right-wing militia, right-wing people, Republicans, whatever you want to call them, that are going to buy into this voter fraud, buy into this election being rigged, and Trump is out there spouting off on a daily basis on how it's rigged. And things could get a little dicey out there, so people need to be careful, people need to be prepared for these sorts of things, because win or lose, some people are not going to be happy. As I see it, on the right, especially these far right people, see, they had the Tea Party, and that's kind of waned. Now it's the Trumpsters. They're going to be one way or the other. If he loses, they're going to be really upset, and they're talking about taking up arms. If he wins, they will be beating their chest, feeling their oats, saying, "We can deport all the immigrants,
foreigners,
you know,
and immigrants.
Yeah, all the foreigners and things." So either way, things can get a bit dicey, and I think people need to be aware of that.
Are you aware of the 3 militia members in a Kansas militia group who were charged last Friday with planning an attack on a black community in this mosque?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And luckily, they were caught beforehand.
Right.
And they're not being touted as these major terrorists or anything like that. It was out there, but I think it's being downplayed as just, you know, 3 extremist guys as opposed to terrorists. You know, they're very loath to call someone of no melanin terrorists, but they are terrorists.
Right.
So these things are happening. And again, people need to be aware and people need to be prepared for these types of things to be happening.
And to your point, Scotty, here on the local news, they've been calling those three guys terrorists, and they've also been playing some of the things that these whatevers have said. And one of them has gone so far as to say that a good Muslim is a dead Muslim. And it's amazing that they can say these things and feel that there will be no repercussion of what they say and what they plan to do. And they had a very precise plan of attack. And they didn't care who knew about it. So it's almost like the militia, and it's almost like the right-wingers can do and say whatever they please, because they, one, not only do they take pride in that, but they also feel like it's their right.
Curtis Wayne Allen, Patrick Eugene Stein, Gavin Wayne Wright, members of a small militia group calling itself the Crusaders, arrested Friday.
They do sound like crazy plotting, white boys, yes.
Plotting to bomb an apartment complex in Garden City.
Mm-hmm. And I think Donald Trump has absolutely elevated these people into the mainstream.
Yes, he has.
And tweeting that's from the accounts of known white terrorist organizations and what have you.
And then he denies any association. He denies whether he knows them. He denies Duke and whether they're friends or he knows them. You know what? People don't talk like that if they're not friends, if they're not close. People don't talk like that. They do that because they know they can get away with it, because they're all in the same boat together. They're all of the same mindset. That's why they feel so comfortable in doing that, because they're all of the same mindset. And the other morning there was a person out at a rally for the whatever he is, and he began to ask people in the crowd why they feel so strongly about him. And the one word that they all felt was important to use was that he's strong. And the question came, well, doesn't it matter to you that he doesn't know politics, he doesn't know policy, he doesn't stand on any policy, he can't tell you about... And they said, no, because he's saying things that matter to me. He's saying things, he indicates that he's strong. How? So how? And you get people with nothing between their ears, and they're talking about how strong he is. And that was the word that they used, and they continue to use. If there were a dozen people out there, everyone said strong, the one word that, to describe him, strong, strong. And he even asked a kid, and I believe the kid said something like, I don't know, it was something funny that made everybody laugh. Might have been funny. He was funny. But everybody said he was strong. Strong in what fashion?
Let me read this to you. The Crusaders knew they wanted to kill Muslims and with luck use the bloodbath to ignite a religious war. But for months, they couldn't settle on a plan. The easiest way would be to grab guns, go to the predominantly Somali Muslim apartment complex they'd been surveilling, and start kicking in doors. They would spare no one, not even babies.
Wow.
Okay, and see, again, people need to be aware of these things. And this is what I talk about, people being in... Now, this was in Kansas, and I'm not sure what suburb of Kansas this was, but people being in certain areas, people not being prepared, people being in living in places where they can't protect themselves. Okay?
And people think that living in rural areas means that they're not protected.
Yes.
Out there when there's no, you can't get to an officer right away, you can't get to 911 out of quickly, you can't get to
emergency
services.
Hey, but I can get to my Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. you certainly can do that.
I can get to my Mossberg 500 really quickly.
You know, we can't get to emergency services right away. It takes 20 minutes for someone to get here, blah, blah, blah.
And those things do exist.
They do exist, but remember what goes on in the city right under your nose 24/7. I was telling my aunt yesterday that the siren goes every single morning at 6 a.m. It is clockwork, And I said, you know what? I'm beginning to think that that is a call. That is a call on the plantation. And I believe that with every fiber of my being, because it happens every single morning. And I've been hearing this since I spend so much time in LA. I hear this and I'm going, that is a call. That is a call on the plantation. Get the natives moving. And I promise you, there aren't that many things. Well, here in LA, of course, there are lots of things going on at that hour of the morning because the traffic begins at 3:30 in the morning. But come on. In neighborhoods, you hear sirens and helicopters blaring all hours of the day and night and morning. And I'm talking about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Here goes the siren. The sirens are blaring. Every single morning, and it is clockwork. It is clockwork, people. Every single morning, and it's get the natives stirring, get the natives moving, and the sirens are just going on. And you know what? It's almost like, well, you don't hear any bangs. You didn't hear any tire screeching. You didn't hear anything like that. Are there that many homes that require ambulances? I don't know. I'm not out there. But I can guarantee you, I know just about the difference between a paramedic and a patrol car. And I believe the patrol cars are out and they're stirring the natives. There you go. There you go. That's it. We hear it all the time.
Yep.
That's it. In the city. Because it's happening in the city, and I guarantee you, stand out on the corner. You're at 6 a.m. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it, and you're going to say, well, where are they going?
Let me give out the phone numbers for those who want to chime in. Area code 704-951-5030 if you'd like to contribute, or if you just want to dial in and listen. 641-715-3660. Dial the participant code of 549032. And if you're on that line and wanted to chime in, you can hit *61 and Scotty will bring you in.
Yeah. And the other thing is when you hear the sirens and all of this activity going on, that ought to stir some sensibility about where we are when we're in the cities. That ought to get people thinking about
this. But the problem is people have become immune to it.
Yeah, they are.
We're becoming immune to it. We're becoming, and see, this is another thing. We're becoming immune to those sorts of things, and we buy into, many black people have bought into this sort of, and for lack of a better way of putting it, this downtroddenness. You know, we're oppressed. You know, all these things are going to happen. Things are never going to get better. So I'm just going to deal with it like that. Without looking for, exactly. Without looking for a way to get out of it. They've bought into it, whether it's from the media, whether it's from everything they've learned. People have bought into being down all the time, being down, being broke. You know, we always talk about, you know, and it's kind of a known thing. Black people have bad credit. Well, not all black people have bad credit. A lot do, because, again, there's a lot of things that go on with regard to that. But there's a way to clean credit up. You know, people have said to me over the years, you know, how do I clean up my credit? I say, pay your freaking bills.
Right.
You know, it's not that hard. Now, it may be hard to pay your bills because of certain circumstances, but, you know, there's no magic to it. So moving out of the cities, getting out of that mindset, that closed mindset. And what has happened in the L.A. area is people have moved from the inner city. They've moved out to Moreno Valley, Palmdale, Victorville, Apple Valley. They moved to all those areas. But they've taken that inner city mindset with them.
And they did, and they have, and they're continuing to do that. So the things that here that we hear about here in sunny Southern, people say the very same things. Yeah, they moved out there, but they took all that stuff with them. And they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they absolutely do. And as you were talking about people becoming numb to the things that are going on, they not only have they become numb, it's just a part of the daily occurrences. It's simply a part of the daily occurrences. And that takes us back to dots. Okay? So, yes, there are lots of things that create stress, and people overlook it. I'll never forget my cousin telling me not to go to a gas station on Crenshaw and Slauson because there was a tape played in the courtroom. And the tape showed people just walking over a man's body that had been shot at the gas station on the corner. And she said, don't go over there anymore because people have lost their minds. And people have. People have lost their minds because those things don't matter. And when we started the show this morning, I began talking about Tyson Gay's daughter. Well, they were sitting in a restaurant, and this happened in Kentucky. It's not all over the news like the others were, because it happens, the occurrence is every single day. And if we listen to the news here in LA, that's how the news begins. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy in the city. It begins with that. It ends with that. Because there's nothing else to report. And we understand that if it bleeds, it leaves. We got that. But people, this is out of control. This is simply out of control. The shooting over there in the Crenshaw area, someone told me last night that they were so sure that Taste of Soul would not take place because of the shooting that just took place literally down the street from where Taste of Soul was heard. Danny Bakewell ain't gonna stop making that money. Not for that. Shootings happen every single day.
I have a question. And this is a shout out to Clear the Airways Project, Rage Against the Ratchet, Rap Rehab, and all of those activists for years who have been trying to get this misogynistic murder music off of the urban, I'm going to use that word, the urban radio markets and what have you. So for all those people, and I understand that where you all are coming from, you are concerned. You have sincere concern about the loss of life in our communities. But those other people, they're not really that concerned. They just bring it up as a way to deflect from some other issue you're talking about. But I asked them, okay, if you're so against violence in these areas, then why don't you boycott McDonald's or Walmart? Why aren't you putting pressure on these corporations that sponsor the murder music that's targeting these communities? Yes. And so again, I'm not saying that, and they're not saying that's the magic bullet that's going to stop all the violence, but it is a contributing variable, I believe. I mean, we're pumping actual, literal murder music into these people's minds.
And I have a theory that, and I get arguments with people about this all the time, particularly younger people who are embedded in the quote hip-hop culture, is that, you know, rap music, when it started, it was fun music. Remember Will Smith and the Sugar Hill Gang and those guys? It was fun music. Yeah. And even as it got into MC Hammer, it was good dance music. And then the gangster rap came in. And I seriously believe, you know, it was pushed very hard by the powers that be. Let's go ahead and push this music even encouraged to make it even more violent, more misogynistic. And they pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And they let one guy make some money, let another couple of guys make money. And when they do that, they said, we don't have to try to oppress these people anymore because they're doing it to themselves. They're shooting each other. They're talking about their they're talking about their women. Disrespectful. They're disrespecting themselves. They're walking around with their pants hanging around their knees, showing disrespect.
Disrespecting their family.
There's no respect. And once you do that, all you have to do is sit back and watch.
Let us do it to each other.
Mm-hmm. That is what's happening, and that's what has been happening for the past, 20, 30 years. We've been doing it too. So you're absolutely right. In this murder music, you know, it's not even music. I'm a musician. Okay.
It's not music.
These guys they go to Guitar Center, they get a little beat making machine, and they make a beat. And the interesting thing is that they call it beat making because it's not writing. They make a beat.
They don't know how to write music. They can't write music.
They just throw some lyrics in there, and then they move on with it. And it, our music has devolved into nothing but crap. And I'm sorry for anybody that's offended by that. You can be offended, but it's crap.
It is crap. And I remember we do have someone in our family who is in the music business, and I cannot name names. But remember this thing called rap culture. That is not a culture.
No, it's not.
That is not a culture. And if anyone wants to challenge me, good. Look up the term culture. Look up culture and get the definition. That is not a culture. So when you talk about people who are so embedded and ingrained in this rap business, ask them why. And remember, subliminal advertising and the subliminal messages come and people don't even know it. That's why they're subliminal.
It's not even subliminal anymore, Colette. It's just in your face.
It's in your face. Mm-hmm. And it began with those subliminal messages. And when you hear that stuff, even at school, we have to tell kids, take it off, get those earplugs out of your ear, because when kids walk in and they've got that stuff playing in their ear, we can see the attitude and their disposition by the way they look and what they're listening to. And it is no longer subliminal, just as you stated, Scotty, but it began with those subliminal messages. And lots of people, even to this day, don't even know what the subliminal messages are. And if the subliminal messages had been any different, where would we be today? But just as you stated, Ken, those messages are fierce, they're destructive, and they're tearing cities down. They're tearing families down. And how in the world, and I'll never forget, I went to Texas Southern to see my daughter, and it may have been when I moved to Houston. But she and her boyfriend picked me up, and we were on our way somewhere. And the stuff that was going on in the car, I thought, are you guys serious? And I'm sitting in this car. Of course, that no longer happens. But one of them said, your mom's in the car. But what parent?
That was that dirty South music.
Yeah, right.
Dirty South rap.
What would make somebody, a parent, think that it's okay for a son to make that kind of stuff? And I've never called it music. That is not music. They steal someone's melody. They steal
They don't even do that anymore. They don't even do that. They don't even have melodies anymore. They just have some crap going on in the background. Yep.
Right. They mix it and they throw something in there. They call it music. That is not music, people. That is not music. Let's get it right. That's not music. And when we hear these kinds of things and what that message is, that is so destructive. It's so destructive, and it's so demeaning, and it's so disrespectful. And how could anybody want their son or daughter to do that, to allow those things to come out of their mouths? And the other thing that people really don't think about is that everybody came from a mother and a father. So when those kinds of things come out of your mouth about women and girls and families and neighborhoods, you're actually talking about from whence you came. You're talking about your own mother. Because the only way that you're here to even do that, you got here through your mom and your dad. So why can't we have music that is really music? And that goes back to where we began with this discussion, with all of the things that are going on in the cities and the violence and the black-on-black crime. And Scotty, you were talking to us earlier about why we say things about Black Lives Matter. And my cousin has a theory about how Black Lives Matter began. And we all can theorize about it. But we had someone on our show.
Colette, Colette, you still there?
Did we lose her?
Okay, we have her back. Go ahead, Yolanda. Colette, you had tuned out for a minute. If you could start your statement over, please.
Okay, I was talking about the
Black
music.
Lives Matter.
Yeah, you said we had someone on the show.
Okay, is there someone there?
No, no, no. You said that's where we lost you when you said we had someone on our show.
Well, we had someone on our show that talked about, that was from the NAACP. And we had a discussion with Scotty a little earlier about why we're not calling these people on the carpet to do something about the violence in the communities. And we are. That was the reason we had that person on, because we want to know what's going on with these organizations. What's going on with the NAACP? What's going on with all of these organizations, the Urban League, people who claim to be doing so much for the community? Why are these things still happening? Why do we still have so much gun violence? I would really like to know why those people jumped on District Attorney Jackie Lacey at her own town hall meeting last night. And she, when the woman said, "We're going to burn and it's going to be your fault," and the way she said it on camera to Jackie Lacey was chilling. And Jackie Lacey dropped the mic and walked out. And it was chilling, because lots of people are really tired of it.
Well, my commentary on it is that every time there's a high profile shooting or sensationalized shooting, I see Republicans, and I'm starting to see it from Black people too, but they say, well, why doesn't Black Lives Matter care about black on black crime? And so my commentary was that, well, I don't hear people asking the NAACP that, the Urban League that. I don't see anybody telling PETA, "Hey, PETA, why don't you focus on domestic violence instead of just the mistreatment of animals?" But my thing is that these organizations have a mission statement, and in their mission statement, it does not include being social workers to solve that problem in the community. Now, as individuals, they may, as an individual chapter of an organization, they may get involved in those issues, but I just feel like that it's unfair criticism to always mention Black Lives Matter when it comes. Because I've even heard people in the Black community that are anti-abortion. They claim that that's a genocide. I don't see how it's a genocide when the Black population continues to grow. So that means that, no, we're not losing people. I mean, through natural death and murders, and of course people are dying, but we are not in danger of becoming extinct or anything through abortions. But nobody, you know, and they saying, well, don't Black Lives Matter care about black babies? And I'm like, you know, just like my organization, Black Talk Media Project, I have people trying to pull me in all different directions. I'm a media organization. I'm trying to get people to have these discussions and provide a platform for those who want to lead the discussion. I'm not an anti-violence abolitionist. You know, I mean, we have to know our roles, know our strengths, and get in. So I was just saying that, you know, why do they always bring up BLM when there is murder in the community? And that's not fair. They were created out of a hashtag in response to a police officer killing a black teenager, and that's the issue that they focus on. That and criminal justice reform, even though I don't like reform, I'm an abolitionist. So that's all I was saying, Colette.
Well,
we do understand.
And I think we have to be careful about asking any organization about the quote black on black violence. Again, that to me, that term is it's not a real term, it's a myth. But the solution is more than just whether it's the NAACP, whether it's anybody just standing up saying, hey, let's stop doing this. Because I get that the Black Lives Matter movement was because of police on black people's violence. That's pretty much their mission, and I get that. Again, we have to be careful about trying to get somebody. This is still somebody saying, why doesn't somebody else do something about it? You know,
right.
We need to look at overall solutions. And back to what we talked about earlier, part of it, I believe, is because we are concentrated in these inner cities and we're so close together. And between the poverty and being packed into these places like sardines and all the issues that go along with that, those things make the environment ripe for violence. Okay,
right.
You've got gangs fighting over turf, and really, if you think about it, if you look at these gangs fighting over turf, whether it's the Crips and the Bloods and things like that, it's really no different than what's going on over in Iraq with the Kurds and the Shias and Shiites. Yeah, the Shia, it's all over territory. You know, there right. just happens to be some this a religious sort of thing. Does that make it right. any more noble? No, they're yeah. still killing each other. Same way the Crips and the Bloods are killing each other. So if you really look at things in context and take it in context and say, it's really no different. And okay, how do we fix this? They haven't been able to fix that sort of violence in the Middle East for thousands of years. You know, those people have been killing each other for thousands of years. Okay, so we're never going to find, you know, nirvana here where everybody's, you know, it's all kumbaya. But again, individually and sometimes collectively, people moving out of the inner cities, people teaching their kids certain things, protecting themselves, doing different sorts of things. It's about doing something different. You know, Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Okay, we're packed into these cities and we see what's going on, but we're expecting the police to change it, we're expecting the man, the government, whether it's NAACP, Black Lives Matter, we're always asking, what are you doing about it? We got to look at
here's
some introspecting and say, okay, what am I doing about it? What am I doing about it? And see, if you do that one at a time, one person says, I'm moving out of the city. They move out of the city. Another person moves out. Another person moves out. Then you have this movement out of these areas. And guess what? Things will start to change. Things will start to change because your environment dictates who you are. Who you are, because you grew up in that environment. You have to grow up tough. I remember, you know, my grandparents being in Watts, and I hit a little boy by accident one time. He was about 8. I was about maybe 12, and you know, about 10 minutes later, he came to my grandmother's door with a broken bottle, ready to cut me. You know,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Really.
And. Wow. And here I'm like this kid. I'm 13, 14. What am I going to do? Go beat up this 8-year-old? You know, so I just slammed the door on him and said, go on away. But he was growing up in that environment. Okay. Right. And so you grow up so that your environment, for not completely, but can dictate who you are and how you see the world. So the only way to change that is to get out of that environment. You know, I tell people travel. You've got people living in areas, they've never been out of the state, they've never been out of the city, they never go anywhere. You've got to get out of there.
How about students that never leave the block they live on? How about that?
Yeah.
And people don't even know that exists. I know it exists because I work with those students every day. They never leave the block they live on. And as you were stating, Ken, the numbness that people find themselves in, they don't even understand what's outside of their block, what's outside of a 10-mile radius, what's outside of the city, the state. They don't even get it. And they feel like, oh, no, I can't leave here. Oh, for whatever the reason is, I can't leave here. I'm connected here. I'm connected here at the hip. I can't leave. And their mindset is that nothing else happens if it doesn't happen here in this pocket. And here in Southern California, in L.A., things have gotten to be so tight and so it's hard to even describe, because the trash is everywhere. People are everywhere. You can't park anywhere. It's so jam-packed. It's worse than sardines. It doesn't get any tighter. You can't get any tighter because people are on top of each other. And just like everybody was saying, just like we were talking about earlier, people have become numb. They're blind. They've become incensed, desensitized. I don't even know how any further to describe it, because they've become desensitized to what's going on. The very idea that all these things can happen, and all these murders and shootings, and the party still goes on. The party is still going on.
Yeah, we have a caller, even though we are over the time right now. Can we go ahead and take this caller and
Absolutely.
Okay. Area code. Let me see the area code. Area code 323. You're on Change Matters Solutions with Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Good morning. You guys have been just hopping all over the table today, but it's been interesting. And you were talking about us moving out, and this is just Andrea. Good morning, my kings. Good morning, my queen.
Good morning, Andrea.
In moving us out of the cities and further out, and the white people are moving back into the cities and taking over in areas that you didn't see them in before. They're there now. And that's called regentrification.
Right.
Sure.
And that's been going on for, 20, 30 years, I think?
Mm-hmm.
And we
touched on gentrification.
But no matter where we go, some of us, as Yolanda Colette said earlier, we take that inner city attitude with us.
Right.
And, but then you also have the Crips and the Bloods that have gone out there as well.
Right.
In certain areas. And they take that inner city gang mentality. And it's just, what do we do about it? They don't have the right. The gangs don't have the right to come into a neighborhood and take over. You take over when you buy housing and redevelop, fix doors, paint, and get the property up in value, not come into the neighborhood and tear it down. So
well,
whether
we stay in the city or we go out
in the boonies, so to speak, we have to come together as a race of people and lift up our heads and support each other. And I'm thankful that you guys are here. Change matters, solutions. I give you many props and thank you for taking my call. And I will continue to listen in because these are things that we do need to talk about and we do need to get out and vote. This is ridiculous. The voting is worse than when Gore was running.
Sure.
Where they came in and they messed with the ballots. And it was just, but this time we're living in, it's just, are you really?
You're right.
It boggles your mind each and every day. So again, I thank you for your platform and taking my call. And each and every Tuesday, I'll try to listen in. So God be with you, each and every one of you. And we are here to break the chains of poverty, creating bonds of prosperity. In Jesus'
name. Absolutely. And thank you very much for your call and your comment. We really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. And we're at the bottom of the top of the hour. We're going to have to close. But I will say this with regard to the fact that she mentioned that, the Crips and the Bloods are moving out to the places where people have moved to get away from the city. People have to stand up. I think people have to you have to stand up and say, no, you are not bringing this here. And the thing about it is that part of people allowing that is because they become accustomed to that and they become numb to it. Is that's just part of it. It does not have to be part of it. So you've got to stand up. And the men of the community have to stand up and say, you're not bringing this crap in here. Now, they have different laws, gun laws and things like that in different states, and you have to be careful about those things. But if you're in a state where you have more liberal gun laws, where you can, you have a cadre of brothers standing in the corner saying, no, you're not bringing this crap here. You are not doing it. And you stand up and you just do not let it happen. And I think, again, and many of these things, many of these solutions, some of these people are going to say, you know what, that's easier said than done. Yes, it is. But it's got to be said. It's got to be said. And it has to start somewhere.
And those people, some of those people will say, well, wait a minute, they're the bad guys. They're the ones with the guns. You think I'm going to stand here on the corner and let them shoot me? Well, you know what?
Guess what? You want them to shoot you in your house, shoot your little girl while she's sleeping in her bed?
You want take it. What you have to do is stand there and talk to them. Take it to a level that will get them to understand that this is not going to happen here. And
Freedom is not given, it's taken. And we are at the top of the hour, so we're going to have to go. We want to thank everybody for listening to the show. We want to thank Scotty Reed for producing the show and being the Black Talk Radio media mogul, as it were.
Remember to
dial into the Black Talk Radio Network. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We are changematters.com. We're also going to be on YouTube.
And don't forget about
We Are One of a Million. The program, look up the program. Again, thanks for tuning in. And any last comments, Colette?
Yeah, and I do want to say, can't say it enough, please, please, please go to your laptops, your computers, your iPhones, all of those contraptions. I still carry a flip phone, and don't anybody say anything. Yes, I do carry a flip phone. I'm proud of my flip phone. Thank you. Yeah. It's just fine.
Thanks, Rob. Make sure you get out and vote, and that voting, vote early. Please try if you can to vote early.
Yes.
Voting is November 8th.
Yeah, and remember, here in California, voter registration ends on the 24th. That is next Monday. You've got how many days left to get out there and get registered and vote on November 8th, Tuesday, November 8th. And as Ken just said, we are Black Talk Radio. We are Change Matters. Tune us in to TuneIn, Stitcher. We are Change Matters Solutions. Look us up on YouTube. Look us up on all of the social media platforms, because we are there, and we invite you to join us every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. in sunny Southern California, 10 a.m. in Dallas, Texas, anywhere in Texas, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. We are Change Matters. Kenny Hendricks, Change Matters. Colette Williams, thanks for joining us. Join us next weekend. We got a lively show for you. So please join us then. Thank you, Scotty. All right. We're out.
Bye.